Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kesubos Daf Yud Beis. We begin with the new Mishnah about a third of the way down on the Daf, and the Mishnah begins as follows: Yud Beis Omer Aleph Ha'ochel Eitzel Chomov BeYehuda. If a person in the region of Yehuda in Eretz Yisrael, that's the middle part of the country, were to go and eat by his in-law's house. Now we're talking here between the Erusin and the Nisuin, the first stage of marriage and the second stage of marriage. As we've mentioned many times already, there was up to a year wait for a Basula in between those two events. Today we do them both together at the wedding. And in Yehuda, in that region, they used to allow the young couple to be alone together during that period of time. So in Yehuda, if you were to eat, if this was in fact done, we'll see the Gemara, not everybody in Yehuda did this, but if you in fact did this, the husband and wife were allowed to be alone together during that period of time during the first year between the Erusin and the Nisuin. So then, Shelo Be'edim, if there weren't witnesses there to say that absolutely nothing had happened, so then, Eino Yochel Liton Tainas Besulim. The Chosu would not be believed that he would say that he had a Tainas Besulim against his wife, that he didn't find Dam Besulim, because the expected situation was that they had succumbed to their desires, and they had had relations with each other during this year period of time between the Erusin and the Nisuin, and he either forgot about it or he didn't have a full penetration, didn't have full Ha'ara, and therefore he didn't think that he had broken the Dam Besulim. But the bottom line is that he doesn't have a Tainas Besulim in Yehuda, where they had this custom that they were allowed to be alone without witnesses. Why? Again, as I just said, we're concerned that he in fact was the one that had made her into a non-virgin, and therefore he has no Tainas Besulim in those areas. The Gemara starts off and says, "Mi diktania ochel," as I pointed out, from the use of the Lashon, for those that did have this, ha-ochel, those that did eat alone in Yehuda, husband and wife together during that first year of their relationship, when they weren't yet fully married and weren't allowed to have relations, if they were allowed to be alone together in those places in Yehuda where they practice this custom, that implies Michal the Igodot to be Yehuda, that there were places in Yehuda that didn't do this, Nami the Lo'ocha, that also didn't allow this custom like it was in the rest of Israel where this custom wasn't practiced. And Abaye comments on this and he says, Abaye, Shmami, you know, you see from here, Yehuda, Nami, Mekomus, Yesh, that there were different customs, even within the region of Yehuda. It wasn't one absolute widespread custom, but there were pockets where they did allow this, and the pockets they didn't allow this. In the pockets where they did allow this, so then they didn't have the Tainas Besulim, but in the other places they did have a Tainas Besulim, because they never had them closeted together during that year between the Erusin and the Nisuin. And Abaye's statement is supported by the following Braisa, the Tanya. And the Braisa says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, Rabbi Yehuda says, Be Yehuda, during the region of Yehuda, Barishon, originally the custom was, Tahyumi Yachadin Esechosim Yesakala, Shah Achas, Kodem Kinisosot Lechopa. The custom originally in Yehuda was, they would let the Chosin and Kala be alone together for some period of time, Shah Achas, before they actually entered into the Chuppah. And the reason for this was that they shouldn't be so embarrassed with each other, they should have a lover ready for each other to make their married life and the consummation of the marriage that much more enjoyable and pleasant and easy. Kadeshi Alibo Gaspa, so that she would like him. Now, we had also brought down previously, so that this was a custom, unfortunately, one of the horrific persecutions against this was that the Hegemon in the region of Yehuda would often try to consort first with the wife of a woman to be married. And if this was done with a willingness on her part, so then the woman would be ushered to her husband. So they did this, the Mepharshim bring down, in order that there should be an attachment already between her and her husband, and that she shouldn't go willingly to the Hegemon if she was in fact forced to do this horrible act of being with the Hegemon before her marriage, before the consummation of a marriage. So this way it would be lo baratzon, and if she was married to Yisrael, it wouldn't forbid her to marry to him. However, the Braisa continues and it says, Ubegalil, in the other regions of Eretz Yisrael, like the Galil, Lo Yosekein, this minhag wasn't extant. And even in Yehuda, Yehuda Barishona, originally the custom was, Himamidim Lem Shnei Shushbinim. As we'll see in a moment, this was in the places where they didn't closet themselves together. As Rashi is going to point out, in places, B'malkum, this is in the end of Dibra Maskul Mashmish, B'malkum Shinogul Yachet, my Mishmush boy, then they wouldn't need these witnesses because there wouldn't be a Tainas Besulim. Sari Ein Shom Tainas Besulim. So Alma, you'll see from this point over here, B'Yehuda, Mekomos, Mekomos Yesh. This is the proof to what Abaye said, that in some places in Yehuda, they didn't allow the Chosin Kala to be together between the Erusin and the Suin alone, unsupervised. In other places, they did. So from this second statement of this Braisa, that in some places in Yehuda, they would set up these two Shushbinim. Shushbinim are the good friends of the Chas and the Kala, Echad Lo V'Echad Lo, one would be representing his interests, and one would be representing her interests, or one would be set up to make sure that he didn't do any shenanigans, and one would to make sure that she didn't do any shenanigans, Kidei L'mashmei Shesa Chos V'Sakala, and they would go and check out, L'mashmei means L'fashveis, to check out, and see that their actions, as Rashi says, L'fashveis or L'mashmei B'maseim, but also Alayla, on that wedding night, Shlo Yekal Kaluzes, that they shouldn't do any shenanigans, one to the other, they shouldn't come up with some chicanery, and go and try to fool and make it believe that they were or were not Dan Basulim when they weren't really present. So Lamashmi says the Chosin said Kala Bishas Knisosul Chuppah. When they were going to the Chuppah, they would check them out to make sure that, let's say, the Kala didn't come in with already a pre-stained, a pre-bloodied garment or a sheet of some sort, or that the Chosin didn't have an extra clean sheet there, that he would remove the sheet that had the blood of the Basulim on it and put this clean sheet there and say, look, there was no Dan Basulim. However, it says Ubu Galil Lo Yosekein. In the Galil, they didn't do this. That wasn't their practice. Yehuda Barishona, in Yehuda also, there was another custom in the beginning. Hayushush Binin, they had these friends of the Chosin and Kala, Yishenim, the base by Yishchosin and Kala Yishenim. But they would have them actually stay in the same house where the Chosin and Kala were there, again to prevent any shenanigans from going on. However, Ubu Galil Lo Yosekein. In the Galil, this wasn't the custom. And then the Braisa says, and if anybody didn't do this custom, we'll see in a moment what custom they're referring to, any ocholiton, tainas besulim, then they wouldn't be able to go and have a tainas besulim. So if they didn't do this, they couldn't have tainas besulim. And the Gemara says, what in the world are you talking about if they didn't do this? So what exactly does this mean? We'll have three interpretations. The first, Gemara starts off and says, ahai, this last statement that if you didn't do this minhag, then you don't have a tainas besulim, so what is this going on? If you're going to tell me, ilemo areisha, it goes on the first part of the Braisa, which said that they allowed the Chosin and Kala to be together in parts of Yehuda, so then, kol shenohag miboyle, you should have said anybody that did this, not anybody that didn't do this, anybody that did have this custom, they wouldn't have a tainas besulim. But if you didn't have this custom, in other words, if you didn't closet yourself away, then why wouldn't you have a tainas besulim? So it can't be going on the Reisha. So therefore, it should have said in the Reisha, kol shenohag miboyle. Therefore, elu ha-sefer, must this statement of kol shenohag minhag is there, any holotel tainas besulim must go on the sefer. But look at the sefer. Instead of saying l'mashmish is a chosin, it should have said koshelo mushmosh miboyle. Instead of saying if you did not have this chosin, it should have said if you didn't have this mushmosh, so then you wouldn't have a tainas besulim because we were concerned about some chicanery going on. So that's the problem. So we have three terutzim as to what exactly this reference is. So the first one is Abaye. Abaye says as follows. In fact, this last statement, v'chol shelo nohag, goes on the reisha, but it's a mistake. You have to change around the gears. So utni kol shenohag. If, in fact, you had the custom of klazi and chosin and the kala away in the first year between the erusin and the nisuin, that they were allowed to be alone together, so then you don't have a tainas besulin, because the chances are, as the Mishnah said, b'nei shem yisiach ima, he was the one that probably broke her besulin. And therefore, you just have to change the words around, and everything makes very good sense. Rava doesn't like this teretz. Omoli Rava. Rava says we don't like to change it around because that's not what it said. B'ha, we have the gear, so kol shelo nohag ketani. We don't like to make changes in an established brisa because it's convenient. So if you have an alternate answer, which Rava does, so he says, I don't like Abaye's teretz of changing around the gear, sir, because elo amar Rava. Hachikara. Rava says this is the way you could read this, and it doesn't involve changing around the gear, sir. Read it. Kol shelo nohag minog golil. Ba-golil. If you didn't have the normal custom of the Minog of Golil, which was that they didn't allow the Chosin Kala to be together between the Erisin and the Nisuin alone by themselves, but in fact, Elo Minog Yehuda Ba-golil. But if even in the Golil, you had this Minog that was common in Yehuda, that they allowed the Chosin Kala to be alone together without witnesses between the Erisin and the Nisuin, so then in that situation, you also will then have the din of Ein Yocholiton Tainas Besulim. So that's Rava's Teretz. It fits in with the words. You do have to hit some words here also, but it's adding an understanding. It's not changing the gear. So that's why Rava prefers his Teretz over Abaye. The third Teretz is also switching things around a little bit. Ravashi Omar. Ravashi gives the following Teretz. It says, Lolom HaSefer. It's actually going on the Sefer. And don't read it, Kol Shelo Nohag Minog Zeh. Ella, read it, Utzni Kol Shelo Mushmush. If anybody didn't undergo this preventative measure of having the shushbinim, so then you can't also have a tainas besulim because we're concerned about some sort of shenanigans going on. Okay, now we go to the next Mishnah. Achas almana. The Mishnah tells us that whether the woman is previously widowed, or it would be the same for divorce, she was previously married, that's what it really means over here. Achas almana yisro. whether the Amona herself was a Bas Yisrael or the Achas Almonas Kohanim. Rashi explains Almonas Kohanim means the Almona was a Bas Kohen, not married to a Kohen, but a Bas Kohen. So it doesn't make a difference what the lineage is of the Almona, whether she was a Bas Yisrael or she was a Bas Kohen. The Mishnah tells us Ksubos Almona, the Ksuba for an Almona, whether she comes from a prestigious family, from a Kohen family, or whether she comes from a regular Yisrael family, her Ksuba is only one Mona, 100 Zuz. However, the Beis Din Shel Kohanim, Hayugovel LeBesula, Arba Mi'ah Zuz. But there was a special ksuba for marriage with a Bas Kohen that was an entitlement because such a Yichudika family coming from Bas Kohen, so therefore she was entitled, the Beis Din Kohanim said, to a ksuba of 400 Zuz, twice as much as a regular Besula, and Velo Michu Biyodom Chachom, and the Chachom didn't protest. Now, Tosos understands is that they actually put this into the Ksuba as the base Ksuba, and therefore one might have thought that this is changing around the Ksuba, but the answer is no, the rabbis didn't protest. This was considered acceptable. If they felt this way, they were allowed to do so. As we'll see, there were other Choshev people that did this as well, not adding on to Tosefet's Ksuba. Tosefet's Ksuba, you can add on as much as you want, but they added on to the base Ksuba. Gemara starts off and says, interestingly, Tana, the Amonas Kohanim Ksuboso Mosayim. It brings out a Brisa, which argues with the Mishnah. The Brisa says that the Amona of Abbas Kohen was 200 when the Amona would get married. If she was Abbas Kohen, the Brisa says that they set up a Ksuba of 200 Zuz, the same as a Besula's Ksuba for Abbas Yisrael. More questions. It says, our Mishnah didn't say that. The Brice is arguing with our Mishnah. Well, 99 we learned our Mishnah. It didn't make a difference. Achas Amon Yisrael, the Achas Amon as Kohanim, the Ksuba is Ksubas and Mona. The Ksuba is one Mona, not 200 as you're telling us in the Brice. So Ravashi explains that there's not a machlokas between the Mishnah and Brice. They're talking about two different time periods. Om Ravashi, Shnei Takonos Habu. There were two different Takonos at different times because of certain things that they thought would be appropriate, but then they saw that it was actually causing a Takola and they subsequently changed it. What do I mean? The Gemara says that these two takanos were as follows. Mei kara originally takinu lebesula arba mi'ozuz u'amon mona. Our Mishnah was the original takana that the Beis Din of the Kohanim set up a special 400 zuz ksuba for their besula bas kohen. However, they left the regular almana bas kohen ksuba to be a regular one mona. And we turn to the Beis of the Beis. However, Kivon de Chozu de Mezazle Behu. Now Rashi and Tosef have slightly different understanding of this. So read Rashi for us. Rashi says the Mezazle Behu Bi'almonos Kalos Be'eneim Lo Tzion. So it turned out that people would get married to an Amona and they'd say, nah, not so happy. And since it wasn't financially a big disincentive to divorce her because the Ksuba was only Amona, the basic Ksubason Muetis is a relatively small amount. And therefore, the Beis Din of the Kohanim said, Takinu Lehu Mason. They set up now that the Ksuba for a Bas Kohen Amona should be twice as much, should be 200, because it was a bigger Gnai, the Gnai Hoya Lohen, more so than the Amonas of Yisrael. It was a bigger Gnai for the families of the Kohanim to have a divorce in their midst. The Afa Pi Shal Monos Yisrael Nami Ksubas Amona, and even though this was the same Ksuba as a regular Amona Yisrael, nevertheless, by the Kohanim was felt more strong to be you. Kohanim Chashive Tvei, the Kohanim were a much more prestigious group of people. The Gnai Lohem Gerushe Benoseim Yosem Yisrael. And it was felt to be a bigger Gnai for a Bas Kohen to be divorced than it would be for a regular Yisrael to be divorced. Always a terrible thing to have a divorce. The Torah does allow divorce, unfortunately, in those situations where it's appropriate. But in general, we try to always reconcile the couple and try to keep them together. It's just not possible in some situations. So here, when there was potentially just a financial reason, I don't love her that much, and I'll just get rid of her real easy. So the Beis Din of the Kohanim said, let's make it a little bit more difficult for him to go and divorce this woman, and hopefully that will prevent some divorces amongst the Bas Kohanim. So that's the way Rashi understands this. And then, let's continue with reading the Gemara according to Rashi. Kivan dechazu, the korporishim minayu. In this situation, since it was a more difficult ksuba for somebody, so he said, listen, instead of me going and marrying this almana for 200, albeit she's a Bas Kohen, so they said, I'm not going to marry at all. The Amar, the typical Chosin would say, the Amar, he would say, Ad nazvinon almonas kohanim, instead of me marrying a almona of a Kohen, okay, great, she's an almona from a Bas Kohen family, but she's not a Besula. It's just for the same cost, the same risk, nasal, nasal, Besula, Bas, so I'll go marry a Besula for the same money. And therefore, That was the enactment that they had made in the Brisa, but then Adrinu Limosayu. They subsequently negated that new enactment and went back to the original. They felt that, yes, well, it is maybe a little bit easier for the Amonis to get divorced in that situation when the Ketubah is only a mana rather than Marson, rather than two mana, but at the same time, it facilitated them getting married rather than being, unfortunately, less likely to get married. That's the way Rashi understands this. Tosfos has a slightly different interpretation. Top Tosfos kiven the chozu de mezalzli b'ho. So at first he brings down to Rashi's shot, but he says second line, v'kosha de meikara nami haviyade shekalos b'neim lo tzion. Says that didn't change. Everybody knew that 100 would be easier from a financial point of view to go divorce a wife, so they knew that up front. So he says kiven the mona choshiv dover muat, since the mona is only a dover muat, they knew that beforehand. So therefore, Tosfos says, Benir Luri, Luri understands this as follows. He explains to Lefaris, the mezalzli b'hu, what does he mean, the mezalzli b'hu? Shemiksas b'yodam hayu nimnoyim milin ososom lefi shahayu kalos b'neim she'en lo ksubo elo revia mimash yesh lo lebesula. The reason why it seemed to be dismissive of the Bas Kohen was they would say, you're only worth a fourth of a regular Bas Kohen who's a Basula. So it was that ratio to the Basula that was the problem. It was a 1-4 ratio, 1 mana versus 4 mana, and therefore they weren't getting married. The Takinu law Moss, and therefore the Basin came along, the Brisa came along and said, no, let's make it the regular 1-2 ratio, just like it's 1-2 ratio by a Bas Yisrael. It'll be a 1-2 ratio here, instead of though being 200-100 by the Yisrael Basula versus the Yisrael Amana. So here it would be a 400-200, a 4-2 ratio, 2-1 ratio as well, between the Besula Bas Kohen and the Amona Bas Kohen. However, once they did this, came in the Chosu de Parashe Binayu Legame. So people weren't interested for the reasons that the Gemara said. Why would you marry somebody and she's not a Besula and have to give a Ksuba of Moasan of 2 mana, 200 Zuz, when you can marry a Besula for the same price? But you Kovtsim Kodem al Besula Siso, so they would prefer to get married to a Besula. And therefore nobody wanted to go marry the Almana at the high price of the Ksuba of Masan, so therefore they changed it back to the original practice. Adrinu Lemosayu. Behind the Nokat me Karim Mizazle Shayu Nimnoyim. So that's what it meant at the beginning. Tosfos said the Lashon is they saw that they were Mizazle at the beginning. However, the Lola Gami portion, but they didn't totally stop. They just, it was a little bit less likely that they would get married because of the 1-4 ratio, but it didn't mean that they didn't get married at all. But then they saw when they made it to 1-2 ratio that really stopped things cold. So therefore, they changed it back to the way it was originally. Okay, similar, not that different between Rashi and Tosfos. The Gemara continues and quotes the Mishnah, based in Shokohanim Chule. The base of the Kohanim set up that the Besula for a Kohen would go and collect 400 Zuz, the 4 mana, rather than the standard 2 mana for the Bas Kohen, and the Chachamim were not protesting this. I'm reviewed on Mishmuel. Reviewed the same name, Mishmuel. Lo Basin Shul Kohanim Bavadabru. This wasn't only a takana that the Basin of the Kohanim did, but this was a takana that anybody who was prestigious set up. Ella, Afilu Mishpachos Hamiyuchosos Bi Yisrael. In Rotu Lasos Kedero Shakohanim Osin Osin. But anybody who was a prestigious family, not only the Kohanim that were a prestigious family, but all prestigious families then followed along with this, what the Beis Din of the Kohanim did, and they said, our daughters are special, and their ksuba will be 400. If you want to marry them, this is the deal. Mor says, wait a second, Meisvei, the Brisa tells us, Harotze Lasos Kederosha Kohanim Osim, if a family wished to follow what the Kohanim did, in other words, make the base ksuba to be 400 rather than 200 zuz, so Kigon, in a situation, for example, where a Bas Yisrael married Le Kohen, or a Bas Kohen married Le Yisrael. So as long as one of the two partners was a Kohen or a Bas Kohen, so if the Chosu was a Kohen and the Kala was a Bas Yisrael, or if the Chosu was a Yisrael, but the Kala was a Bas Kohen, Osin. The Brisa says they're allowed to do so. Implication being that it's only a Bas Yisrael Le Kohen, or Bas Kohen Le Yisrael, as long as one of the two sides had Kahuna in it, you're allowed to do this. Then, who, the Ikar Tzad Kahuna, you're allowed to do this. Implication being, however, if neither side had Kahuna, you're not allowed to do this. Havo Bas Yisrael Yisrael, if neither side was Kohanim, even though they thought that they were prestigious, and they wanted to do this, you're not allowed to do this. That seems to go against what Rav Yehuda Mishmuel said, that even Mishpachos Miyuchosos Yisrael, when there are no Kohanim, are allowed to do this. So Rav Yehuda Mishul seems to be contradicted by this braisa, but Gemara says no, it's not. The braisa is actually a certain type of format that we are very familiar with called lo miboyi komar. It didn't have to tell me this, it's so obvious. Lo miboyi, it didn't have to tell me that a bas Yisrael or Yisrael is allowed to make the ksuba for 400, because the lo motzi omar lo, because the husband isn't able to tell his wife in that situation, lo, look what I did for you, alu yikor me'alina lech, I made you into a kohen by marrying me. You're now allowed to eat truma. You're entitled to other benefits of being in the family of a kohen. So therefore, when you don't have this ability, so to say to the wife, look what I've done to you, you're allowed to certainly go and give the high ksuba. But one might have thought, it's a little bit of a paradoxical type of a statement, but one might have thought, Abel Bas Yisrael Kohen, when a Bas Yisrael gets married to a Kohen, where the husband says, listen, I'm bringing you into the Kuna, and you're going to have all these benefits of Kuna, the Motzi Amalah, and therefore he is capable of saying to her, Aluya Ko Malinan Lech, I'm elevating you to be in the family of a Kohen, and therefore, Amalah, you might have said somewhat paradoxically that you're not allowed to go and raise the Ksuba in that situation. You're only allowed to raise it if it's a Bas Kohen who's leaving the fold, so to say, by marrying Yisrael. Therefore, Kamash Malon, so the chiddushes of this Brisa is that even in that situation, we still go and say you're entitled to the high Ksuba if that's what the Miyuchosos Yisrael want to do. And therefore, it was in all situations, not only in the two that are mentioned, the Brisa, but even in a situation where a Bas Yisrael marries a Yisrael, and that was obvious that you're allowed to do that, and even in the other situations, you might have thought it's not allowed. Therefore, it comes to teach us in the Brisa that you're allowed to do this, and therefore, Yehuda Mashul is not contradicted in any way by this Brisa. Now we go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, if a man goes and marries a woman, and Nebuch, v'lo mosul basulim, and he doesn't find basulim. So in the previous Mishnahs, we talked about this from one aspect, and now we talk about it when she is not disagreeing with him that she's not a basula, but she's giving an amasl, she's giving an explanation, she's giving a reason as to why she doesn't have the basulim. So in this situation, she says, you're 100% right, I don't have my basulim. He, Amaris, however, she says, Mishe rastani nanasti nistakfa sodeyu. And we had this the other day, this mission was brought down previously, yesterday shir, and here's where we see the Mishnah, where she says, you're right. However, I was a basula when I had the erisin with you, and Nebuch, during this period of time, between the erisin and the nisuin, I was raped, I was assaulted, and therefore, meisha erastani, after my erisin with you, that's when nenasti, that's when I was Nebuch assaulted, and therefore, when my basulim is lost, it's so to say, under your domain, ministachfo sodeyu, and therefore, your field has been destroyed, your field has been flooded with water, the expression goes, some of the gears are sodcho, instead of sodeyu, and therefore, it's tough luck on you. It's your financial loss and not my financial loss. And therefore, since I was a basula when things started, and Nebuch, I was assaulted, so therefore, it's under your loss, and my ksuba is still 200. That's what she tells him. He obviously says, "Hu omer, no, that's not true." He says, "Lo, that's absolutely incorrect. Kielo ad shelo erastich, you actually had lost your basulin. You had been either willingly or unwillingly assaulted or had relations before the marriage, and you tricked me. You said you're a basula, but you're not. And therefore, for your mechi mekachtos, and therefore, my marrying you is a mekachtos. And either, like we had previously, you're entitled to nothing, or you're entitled to only 100. There was a machlokas we had in yesterday's year as well. Now, what's the psak over here in our Mishnah? As we brought down yesterday, here's the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Galil, Rabbi Lezer, Omer, that both Rabbi Galil and Rabbi Lezer hold, their sheet is as follows. Man is, she is believed. Why is that? So the simple understanding that we'll go through in the Gemara will be, as Rashi points out over here, Kosoka Daitach Mishum Debari Vishema, her complaint is a Vadai complaint, what we call a Bari Taina. She is saying, I absolutely know when I was Nebuch assaulted. And she says, I was assaulted during the period of time after the Erisin, before the Nisuin. So her Taina is what we call a Bari Taina. And his is what we call a Shema Taina. Maybe. He doesn't know. He has no knowledge of when she was assaulted. He's claiming. How do you know that it was after the Erisin? I think it was before the Erisin. So his is a maybe, a Shema. And we have the rule, the Bari Vishema. When one has a Taina of Bari and the other has a Taina of Shema, Bari, or the definitive Taina, will always win. So therefore, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, they both hold that in fact, the opinion of the wife in this situation is believed, and she will be entitled to her ksuba. Now, Rabbi Shua disagrees. He says, "Lo mi pia anu chayim." We don't live by her mouth. In other words, we can't assume that what she's saying is right, even though it's a shema versus Bari, and we should have believed her. He says, no, you're dealing over here with removing money, and you can't remove money unless you have a definitive claim. Hamotzi mechavera all of haraya. So she has to prove, if she can bring witnesses, that Nebuchadnezzar was assaulted after the erusin, of course she'll get her full ksuba. But lomi pianuchayim, we can't just trust her because of the principle of you can't take money unless you have a definitive proof. Ela harezu b'cheskes ba'ula. So we know one thing for certain. She is a ba'ula right now. She wasn't arguing that she's a ba'ula. So that's a vaday that she's a ba'ula. And therefore, we don't know when that happened, but she's in a chazaka of being a ba'ula. So achelo tisares v'hit atu. So therefore, we have to assume that she was a ba'ula at the time of the erusin. And therefore, she tricked him. And unless she can prove otherwise, she's not entitled to the ksuba, achatavi raya lidvorel, unless she can bring edim, a proof that she was Nebuch a basula at the time of the erusin, and Nebuch, she was assaulted sometime after that. So, amot mechaber, all of a raya, because we leave normally money, the Gemara we use the law shown that, okay, mamona, b'ches kasmari, we always leave the money where it is, unless you have a raya, amot mechaber, all of a raya. And that's what the Gemara starts off and tells us, itmar. We have a similar case where a person says to another person, Reuven says to Shimon, Mona libiyot, Reuven says to Shimon, Yomi 100 bucks, Yomi a mona, Yomi meyazuz. But halah omer, and Shimon responds back, he says, I don't know, any odeh. Tosus points out over here, in Dibra Maschu, Mona libiyot, halah omer, any odeh, Pirish, what does this mean over here? He says, any odeh imhil visani meolam. What Shimon is saying basically is, I don't know if you ever lent me money. I just don't know. But if Shimon had said, Aval, Shimon had said, Hilvisani, yes, you lent me money, the Enyo Dei and Praticha, but I don't remember if I paid you back or not. So then we have Beferish in the Gemara, in the Perek HaGozel Basra, the second Perek HaGozel in Baba Kama, so there it says, on Dafyut Kufyut Ches, that you are Chayav. Shimon can't say, listen, I don't remember if I paid you back or not. Well, you're admitting that the loan occurred, and you don't know that you paid back. And he's saying, you definitely did not pay back, so therefore, in this situation, you have to go pay him back. So, our case of Iatosis explains is when he says, I don't know if you ever lent me the money. And in this situation, the Gemara continues, Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna both say Amri Chayev. They say that the person, Shimon, is Chayev to pay Reuven in this situation. We'll see in a moment because it's Shema versus Bari. Reuven says, you absolutely owe me the money. And Shimon says, I don't know. So that's the opinion of Yehuda and Rav Huna, Amri Chayev, that Shimon has to pay back the money to Reuven. Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan, they disagree. Amri Potter, they say Shimon doesn't have to pay back the money. What's the understanding? So where it says Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda, Amri Chayev, Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna say that you're Chayev in this situation. I don't know why they switched around the orders. Here we say first Rav Yehuda, Rav Huna, and now we say Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda. Okay. In any event, they're saying Chayev because this is a classic case of Bari. Reuven says, I lent you $100. I'm Vadai. I'm certain. That's a Bari Taina. And Shimon is a Shema Taina. He says, I don't know if you ever lent me the money. So this is a Bari Vishema, so Bari Adif. So the rule is that we follow the definitive Taina. And Reuven is definitive that Shimon owes him the money. Shimon is not. And therefore, Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda say, Bari Vishema, Bari Adif, and Shimon has to pay the money to Reuven. On the other hand, Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, and Amri Potter, they say, no, Shimon doesn't have to pay. Why? Because as we already pointed out, okay, Mamona, Bechaz Kismari, you can't take money out from somebody else unless you have proof. Hamotzi Mechaveru, all of Araya. Yeah, you're saying you're certain, but the other person is saying, I don't know if that's true. And therefore, unless you have Edim, unless you have some sort of a proof, okay, Mamona, Bechaz Kismari, you leave the money where it is. So this is the basic understanding of Machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda versus Rav Nachman and Rav Yochanan. Amli Abai Rav Yosef, Abai says to Rav Yosef about this machlokas, he says, Oh, the Rav Huna of Rav Yehuda, that which Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda said, that Shimon is chayv to pay the money in this situation, this is in fact the Shmuelti. This is in fact Shmuel's opinion. Where do we find Shmuel's opinion? From the following Mishnah, which we're going to learn in tomorrow's Shia. And the Mishnah states there, Hay Samil Beres, if the woman was pregnant, but she's not married. So, for Amrullah, and they ask her, Ma Tiva Shubarzeh? Who's the father of this child? And she says, Meish Ploni, the Kohenu. So-and-so is the father of this child, that he's a Kohen. Rashi says, Lav Davki is a Kohen, Kloma Miyuchasu. In other words, he's a kosher person and doesn't turn me into a person, a woman, who's not allowed to marry a Kohen. So, in this situation, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lezer, Omrim, Nemenes, she is believed, because she's Vadeh, she knows who the father of this child is. All my Rehuda, Mishmuel, and on this, Rehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Halacha ki Rabban Gamliel. The Halacha is, in fact, like this opinion of Rabban Gamliel. In response to this, B'amalei Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, Rav Yehuda, when Rehuda said over this statement in front of in the name of Shmuel, he said it over in front of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, and Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda said then to Rav Yehuda, Shinina, again, this is a name that we find that Shmuel often called Rav Yehuda. Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda also called him this. Shinina means either you're a very, very smart person, or there is one opinion that says he had long teeth. But the more standard understanding is it means you're very Shinina, you're a sharp person. Amis Lan, you taught us this then, Mishmei de Shmuel, in the name of Shmuel, that the Halach is Kirab Gamliel. And you used to use the terminology af barishona, not only in this case over here with Manan Libiyotcha, but even in the case of our Mishnah, where we were dealing with the woman who made the claim that while I was in Arusa, this happened, and therefore Nistapcha Sadecha, so you said it even in the Mishnah, af barishona. So the Gemara asks, what does it mean, my af barishona? So it means af agav de ikol meimar, even though in that case you could certainly have said, okay, Mamona Becheskas Mori, leave the money where it is. Nevertheless, even there, Amar Rav Gamliel, Bari Adif, that Bari defeats Shema. Bari Adif mi Shema, even in that situation. So, clearly, this is what Abaye said to Rav Yosef, you clearly see that Shmuel is in agreement with what Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda said, that Bari trumps Adif. And therefore, Shimon would have to pay the money to Reuven, and the Chassid in this situation would have to give his Kala a ksuba because it was nistavcha sadehu. Now, the Gemara says, let us say that this is exactly the machlokas over here. Let us say, lemar Rav Yehuda Rav Huna Damri Rav Gamliel, that in the case of the mana that Reuven claims that Shimon owes him, so let us say that Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna hold like Rav Gamliel, and in turn, Rav Nachman, Rav Yochanan, that they hold the Amrik Rav Yeshua, they hold like Rav Yeshua in our Mishnah that says that all of a raya, that you have to go and prove that you, in fact, nistavcha sadehu. If you can't prove it, then okme mamona b'chazake, you leave the money where it is. So Rav Nachman would say, not necessarily, don't lock us into only being like Rav Yeshua. Amalek Rav Nachman would respond and he would say, no, I know our shita that says that Shimon doesn't have to pay back Reuven, I know the Amri afilu k'rabam gamliel. We would even hold in this situation like Rabam Gamliel. Why? Because Adkan, lo kamar Rabbi Gamliel Hossan, Rabbi Gamliel said his shita in the Mishnah that we believe the woman that after Erisin she was assaulted, she was raped, and therefore she gets entitled to her ksuba because in that situation, elo de'ika migu, because she could have said a far better taina if she wanted to. The concept of migu is, I could have said this, so therefore believe me when I say this. If she really wanted to, she could have said a much better taina. I'm a mukas eitz. And a mukas eitz, that doesn't passel her, Rashi says, to the kahuna. If she says that I was never assaulted, so then that would passel her to ever marry a kohen. If she says she's a mukas eitz, it doesn't passel to a kohen. So it would be a much better taina for her to say that she was a mukas eitz rather than to say that Nebuch, she was assaulted after she was an arusa. So therefore, migu, since she could have said a better taina, that would have made her situation better. So believe her when she says the lesser taina, because if she was lying, why not lie the better lie? Why take a worse lie? So this is what we call a migu. Elo de'ika migu. She could have said mukas eitz, but in fact she said that Nebuch, I was assaulted, nenasti achar sheh. So therefore, we should believe her. That's why Rav Gamliel says in the Mishnah, you believe her. But you know what Rav Nachman would say? In my case of Reuven lending Shimon the money, and Shimon saying, I don't know if you ever lent me the money, there, avohocha, my miguika. There is no other statement that Reuven could have made. He couldn't have said anything else. So therefore, without a migu, maybe in fact, Rav Gamliel would also say, like us, that Shimon is potter to pay because hamotz mechaver all over raya. Alternatively, you could answer, Inami, Adkan lo kamar Gamliel Hossam. The only reason why the Mishnah, Rav Gamliel said in that situation that we believe the wife, to say that Ne'anasti, Achar Shinerasti, Elo Damrinan, Okmo Achazake. Because in that situation, the woman has a chazaka. She's a chazaka. She was a basula. So we leave her in her status of being a basula until she says that I'm no longer a basula. Aval Hocha, my chazaka is still high. But here, what chazaka does Reuven have on the money? It's not in his possession. There is no chazaka. We don't even know that it was in his possession because Shimon says, I don't know that you ever lent me the money. So therefore, in this situation where there is no chazaka, then we say, Hamotzi Mechaver Olav Araya. So Rav Nachman wants to say, don't lock me into only being like the opinion of the Mishnah of Rabbi Yoshua. We could even be like the opinion of Rabbi Gamliel. And the Gemara says, that's taka, very logical. Hochanami, to stop it. It makes very good sense to say this. As we just said, the Rav Nachman, who the Amar Rav Gamliel, that Rav Nachman, in fact, is in accord with Rav Gamliel's opinion. We turn to Gimel and Aleph. Why is that? Because if we didn't say so, the Im Kain, as Rashi points out, the Rav Nachman, lo misuk of Rav Gamliel, if you wanted to say that Rav Nachman can't be in accord with Rav Gamliel and must be locked into Rav Yoshua, so then, Kasha Hilchasa Ahilchasa. Then we have a problem with two of our rules that we normally say the halacha is like Rav Nachman, and we had Paskin over here, Shmuel had said that the halacha is like Rav Gamliel, there would be this conflict between these two Hilchasas. So it would be Kasha Hilchasa Ahilchasa. Why is that? The Kaimalon, because we have a general rule, Hilchasa Rav Nachman Medine. We normally Paskin like Rav Nachman when it comes to Dine Mamanos. And therefore, we should paskin over here that Shimon doesn't have to pay Reuven the money because he says, I don't know. And you leave the money, okay, Mamona, b'ches kesmari, you leave the money where it is. So therefore, we paskin like Rav Nachman. But if you're telling me that we paskin not like Rabban Gamliel, then we got a problem. If Rav Nachman doesn't hold like Rabban Gamliel, then we have a problem because Uvaha, Amr Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, the halacha is Rabban Gamliel. So then we'd have Hilchasa, Kineged Hilchasa. How can you paskin like Rav Nachman and also paskin like Rabban Gamliel? Oh, Elalach Shmamino. It's exactly like we just said, that in fact, Rav Nachman can be in accord with Rabban Gamliel. The two aren't mutually exclusive. Shmamino. That's a very good raya. And with this, we conclude today's shir.